Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to News Crunch, a new monthly segment on At Home with Victoria. Join TV journalist and news lady Victoria Gaither, along with her smart, witty, and colorful guests, as they crunch newsmakers and stories while putting their own spin on issues. Here's Victoria.
Michael, I always feel so special when I join the show and you come on after the claps. I just feel like I'm like a princess who's just arrived in a room and everyone's clapping for me.
Absolutely. We all love the clap, Victoria.
Well, thank you very much. Well, listen, I want to thank all of you out there for taking the time to listening once again, or rather in some cases, putting up with myself, Victoria Gaither, and entertainment co-host Michael Kay. Michael has been with me on the show now for over 2 years. Michael, I wanted to mention this because I want to say last week I got an email, and in that email there was a woman who was commenting on our show, True Story, and she wanted to know how you and I connected. And I remember it's been a long time since we told that story, but basically I had a show, and Anthony, who's a really good friend of ours, a fashion designer from HSN, happened to be on my show. Michael happened to see it somewhere on Facebook. He listened to the show and he was in chat, so he friended me. So that was sort of how it started. And I was looking for an entertainment co-host. He had no idea that I was looking at him. I had a bunch of people that were emailing me saying, hey, I want to be your entertainment co-host. Although I'm a journalist of 18 years, I didn't necessarily want another journalist. I wanted somebody else to kind of balance out me and not have two journalists on the show. And we kind of got to know each other, and the rest is sort of history. But, Michael, you never knew that time I was really sort of interviewing you and looking at you for this position. You had no idea.
I had no idea. All I was when Anthony emailed and said, hey, I'm going to be on A Home with Victoria, I'd never heard of you. And then I listened to his show, and, you know, your show was at 8 o'clock. So by 8 o'clock, you know, Steve was resting, and I was having my Chardonnay. So really all I was another drunk person in the chat room all those times that I was listening and stuff. But the show really held my interest, and that's what, you know, I was kind of really, you know, and then I was floored when you were even considering me. And, yeah, and that's how we met. Radio wives and husband, marriage,
yes, and
radio
husband.
Marriage. There we go.
And just to add one more note before we move on and talk about News Crunch and who our guest is tonight, when I offered Michael the position first as the chat room producer, he was so excited. I'll never forget. I was driving on Coastal Highway in Ocean City when we were talking on the phone, and then the next day we talked, and you said, hey, you know, something to the effect is, I just want to let you know, like you remember offering me that position, like you weren't drunk or nothing was wrong with you, right? And to this day, that cracked me up because I think it's so funny. So, no, needless to say, I wasn't drunk. I wasn't smoking anything because you're still here. And I can't tell you just how happy I am that you're here and that you continue to be here and just be a great force on At Home with Victoria and bringing a lot of entertainment and web series to the show. But with that said, so tonight is our News Crunch Hour. Normally Grover, who's a fellow colleague and journalist out of Tampa, Florida, joins us and a bunch of other authors and stuff. But with our News Crunch segment and the topics that we were going to talk about tonight, which is interesting how Michael is going to tell you who our guest is, we were going to talk about the young lady who died as a result. She was working in that animal sanctuary. She thought the cage was closed and the lion basically just tore her to pieces, and she died there on the spot. So we were scheduled to talk about that. We're also scheduled to talk about, you know, the sort of elderly issues and about a woman who wasn't given CPR at her nursing home, and to sort of talk about that. So with that said, it was wonderful that our guest ended up, you know, being a part of our show tonight, whose name is Sandy. So, Michael, tell us a little bit about Sandy. Then we'll play some music and have her on.
Well, Sandy Athey is a beautiful woman, and with fantastic hair, I have to go ahead and make mention. But she's an actress, radio host, and voiceover person, as well as psychic, and she's here tonight to go ahead. She actually speaks to animals. She's considered the animal whisperer and also works with people. So I'm really excited because I'm curious to see if she can pick up anything about Abby through you, and
yeah.
We'll see if she can sniff out anything from me. And I'm really – and I'm so thrilled you got a psychic on. Usually that's – I guess I would find, but yay, I'm loving it.
Yeah. Yeah,
well,
and you know,
done.
we had another psychic on before David. David. Yeah.
David Beck out of Illinois.
Yeah. And Michael and I, what you guys don't know is that we sort of had an off camera sort of speak discussion because, and maybe Sandy can talk about this, but I was one of those people that grew up, you know, going to church. So if you grow up going to church in America and probably anywhere, they kind of, you know, sort of have you steer clear of psychics.
Yeah.
But then as you get older, you know, things start to happen and things that happen that can't really be explained, and then you start to, you know, question things. So it'll be interesting to talk about Sandy with that. But I don't regret having the psychic on the first time. So actually what that did for me was it continuously opened my mind, you know, to that possibility of believing in things like that. So hence now we're going to have Sandy on. So I'm just excited that she's going to be on. So I'm going to stop blubbering away. Michael, we're going to listen to a song, right? And then Sandy will be back with us.
Absolutely. From Anna Johnson from Nashville, a fantastic little lady. This is Anna Johnson with Someday. When we get back, Sandy Athey will be in the house.
Four. Oh, not your average, everyday kind of girl. She walks along alone on the highway, opens up her guitar case to sing. Glad to meet you, here I am, she says. Sometimes when it rains, I cancel my plans. Catch all the drops in my hands. Listen to the beat, 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 beat. Life can be so sweet. Yeah, 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 yeah. Magazines with torn up pages, old jeans with holes. She's worn for days, but who cares? It's okay. Away, far away. She knows that someday
check her music out at annajohnsonmusic.com. The address is up in chat. Sandy Athey, I knew someday we would meet, and today is that day.
Well, hello, Michael. Hi, Victoria. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Absolute pleasure. Sandy, actress, voiceover, psychic, which hat do you wear most?
Which one would you like me to have? Would you like?
Oh, I get which to one pick.
Sure, you can pick. It's your show. It's your show. I'm just so happy to be here and to support your show and whatever it is that you need.
Thank you so
much. I don't
much.
Do a lot of voices, though, so I don't know if I'm that good at that. I can do my own
voice.
Well,
listen, Sandy, I tell you what, after being in the news business for 18 years and still being in the news business, you have a remarkable voice, and if you don't, you really should. Doesn't she, Michael? Her voice is so
absolutely
soothing.
But, Sandy, you're no stranger to radio.
Thank
radio
you. No.
Past, so.
I did the Psychic Healing Radio Show on WCBM for 7 years.
Wow.
Here in Baltimore, and I am the longest-running regular guest on WVMT out of Burlington, Vermont, and I've been a guest on hundreds of radio shows. It's really my favorite way to communicate. Television is wonderful, and I've done that too, and I've done commercials and co-hosting, and I've done characters and all of those things, but I really enjoy the radio.
Yeah, the radio has a certain bit of charm to it that it's like taking the train on a long trip, if you know what I mean.
It is. It's exciting because you can interact in real time.
Yeah.
You know, television is wonderful, but you're talking to the people rather than talking with them.
With the people, yeah. Interesting, yeah. I totally agree with that. I'm looking at your website, and for those of you that are joining us, we do have Sandy's website information inside of the chat room, and also it's been on my Facebook page as well as Michael's Facebook page and Twitter, so if you're following us tonight, you'll certainly be able to connect with her via social networking. But I was looking at your welcome page, and it said that after challenging childhood and years in the corporate world, a near-death experience changed your life, but you had a glimpse of your gift as a child, many losses, illnesses, and mistakes to wake you up to activate your true calling, which is what you do. Just touch briefly. You don't really have to go into, you know, a lot of detail if you don't want, but touch briefly on that part of your life and how you did full circle to do what you're doing now.
Thank you, Victoria, because as a journalist, I know that you'll appreciate the story because it really is quite an interesting story. And I will give you the radio version of it, you know, the shorter version. I grew up in a little town in upstate New York, and I was kind of giggling at the opening when you said, you know, you go to church on Sundays and you steer away from psychics. Mm-hmm. And I grew up going to church, and that was spirituality to me, you know, was going to Methodist mm-hmm. church every Sunday. And if you had asked me about a psychic, I would have thought of some lady with a crystal ball, and you know,
right.
I wouldn't have known what that was. And I had what you would consider a regular type of life. I was married, and I was an insurance agent, so that's pretty mainstream.
Mm.
Right.
I was doing paperwork in my office one night, and I'm going to give you the details because it is part of the story.
Sure.
I was doing paperwork in my office one night, and I was attacked and strangled to death by a serial rapist.
What?
Oh, this is all true.
Better be. I'm gonna have to Wikipedia.
go ahead.
No,
well,
I'm
actually,
just kidding.
It happened in 1990. It happened
mm-hmm.
in Montgomery County, Maryland. So
wow.
you all are familiar because I know Victoria's
yeah, yeah.
from Washington, and my office was in Rockville, was in Olney, Maryland. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing paperwork, and it was the Route 29 corridor rapist. And the FBI had been chasing him for about 2.5 years. And I didn't, of course, know it at the time. I was just being attacked by this masked man.
Right.
So being the feisty chick I am, I fought back and almost got away. And that's when he pulled me back in and put his hand over my throat and the other hand over my mouth and my nose. And within probably 10 seconds or so, I knew I was dead when the pain stopped. And I popped right out of my body, and I said, oh, my gosh, I'm dead. And it was an incredible experience. And I got all of this information about him, about my life, about the past, about the future. And I was having so much fun with God. It was just so much fun for me. And I said, you know, I really don't want to go back. And he said, well, I'm referring to it as God because, you know, I love God.
It's a
very love feeling. And he said, I'm going to send you back with this gift. And I want you to share it and use it. And it's a gift. Enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
So I came back into my body because the rapist knew that he was killing me. And he didn't want to be up for a murder rap because I could hear his thoughts. I was dead.
Wow.
I could hear his thoughts. So I come back into my body, and I worked with the FBI and the – and it was just funny, though, because I'm in the hospital. You know, I'm beaten to a pulp, and I'm in the hospital trying to get off of the gurney. And I'm saying, God sent me back. I have work to do. I have to go. You know? I'm like, I got to go help. I got to go do what I do. And they're like, honey, it's okay. You know, just calm down. We got to get you healthy first. So that began, everything changed that night, of course. Mm-hmm. And I worked with the FBI and with Montgomery County Police and as well as PG County Police because he had attacked many women over a long span of time. And I knew things about this man. I knew how much he weighed. I knew how tall he was. I mean, he was covered from head to toe, and I knew all these details. And so I worked with them, and it turned out that I was the only one that went to court. There were many other women. But, of course, I was told this was going to happen.
Right.
And I was the strongest one, and my case was the strongest. So I, of course, went to court, and, you know, they caught him, and I had to go to do the lineup and all those other things. And I was the one that was on the stand and put him away forever. And it's at that point, after the trial, which was, interestingly enough, a year to the day that it happened.
Wow.
It was a year to the day, and you can imagine, I was messed up. Messed up. Physically, mentally, I lost my career, my six-figure income. I had to get divorced. I lost my house. I was physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually just a mess.
Yeah.
Everything was gone. And I went to some wonderful people, a regular therapist, and I went to doctors, and I did all of that for many years, and then they said, well, there's nothing else we can do for you. But the spiritual part was the part that I kept asking, you know, what happened to me? What was that? God sent me back, and, you know, I didn't get a lot of answers in that arena. But that was, as you were saying, Victoria, that was my frame of reference. Was
right.
Western medicine, was mainstream, was you go to church. So I went to talk to every minister, rabbi, priest, you name it. I talked to them in every religion and asked questions and learned. And it wasn't until I found this Native American shaman lady. And that was by coincidence, well, if there really is a coincidence, but
right,
I found her, and I was a mess. I had had surgeries, and it was just a mess. And I found her, and I just settled right in, and I really felt like it was home. And I went on a healing adventure. I took a settlement from disability because I realized that in order to collect disability, I had to be sick.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm not going to be sick. I'm going to figure all of this out. So I did a 7-year hands-on apprenticeship with 2 Cherokee medicine people.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned all about, as much as I could, as much as any of us know, what happened to me. And one of the reasons that I really enjoy that tradition and that culture mm-hmm. is because they look at you and they say, oh, well, you're a seer. They call them seers. We call them
mm-hmm.
psychics. But they said, oh, you're a seer. We're going to show you how to be that and how to become yourself because that will help you to heal.
Mm-hmm.
The more
we become
ourselves, the more we heal.
Yeah. And you know, Sandy and Michael, I was just thinking as you were telling this story, and Michael and I say this, and we both believe this all the time. It is interesting how something bad can happen to you. In your case, it was, you know, being raped and going through that traumatic experience. But out of that, you were able to find out exactly who you are, what your purpose was, and what you were supposed to do. So I always feel like when I hear those kinds of stories, you know, sort of as a human being in my gut soul, you know, I always feel torn between I'm so sorry that this happened to you, and like I felt like I wanted to cry right now, even as if you were telling me the story. But the other part of me, I don't want to come off as being mean or weird. I don't feel sorry because it allowed you to be who you are right now. Does that make sense?
Oh, no, you are so spot on. Yes. I always refer to that evening as the worst thing that ever happened to me and the best thing that ever happened to me.
Yeah.
Because everything contains its opposite. Mm. Everything does. The day and the night, the male and the female. I mean, there's always an opposite. And so it has to be both of those things. But it's only the great thing because I chose to make it that way.
Yeah. Absolutely right. Yeah, I would also suggest, and correct me if I'm wrong, Sandy, but it would have had to take that severe of a situation to help you recognize what and unleash what's inside. Does that make sense to you, too?
Oh, like, yeah, I'm blonde. I needed to have it right up in my face. Oh, yeah. we don't want everybody to do that, but, you know, I was a little ditzy. I needed to have a real wake-up call.
Just a real quick aside, too, Sandy. Was the attack entirely random? I'm just curious.
You mean in terms of how he chose me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, the police and the profilers believed that he had been stalking me.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah,
God.
Yeah. And that was his M.O., that he did that. Yeah, he was a bad guy.
You know, I just while we were having this conversation, I literally just texted my mom because I'm a Washingtonian and I was born and raised there. My mom, like me, is a news fanatic, and I literally texted her to say,
and
hey,
does
Mom,
she remember?
Do you remember? Yeah, she does. Yeah, she texts me back, and her exact words were, "Hell yeah, I remember," because most women were afraid. So yeah, she remembers that.
Oh,
yeah.
It was a big news story. It was, and that's one thing that I'm so grateful to the universe for, because I was in the news back then for being the victim. Okay,
right.
I was the 31-year-old Alny woman. Ask your mom if she remembers that. I was the 31-year-old Alny woman, and it was in all these papers. It was everywhere because it was a huge story, and they had been following it for years. And now I'm here bringing hope, bringing inspiration, saying, listen, I am happy. I am healthy. I've been through a lot, but I have the formula. And you, too, can do this at home. And it's a real calling for me. The psychic thing is great. I enjoy using it, and it's come in handy in many situations.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really my gift of seeing. But it's really that inspiration that is that true motivation for me to be in front of people and be on the radio and say, listen, you see me now. And you guys, you know, go to my website, and there are pictures on my Facebook page from like a week ago. So you can see I'm vibrant and happy and healthy and they
nice
told
hair.
Me things. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Good hair, absolutely.
Andy, that's the first thing Michael says when Michael and I were doing our pre-show checks for the music. Michael says to me, he goes, and he wrote
damn,
it in
she's
chat.
Damn, she's got
goes,
some
goes,
good hair on her.
She has some really nice hair.
Thank you. Oh, I'm one of those people that wears it like 10,000 different ways, too. My boyfriend loves it. You never know how I'm going to show up. But thank you. I appreciate that.
Fantastic.
Very, very much. But it's, you know, when I put out a lot of pictures, people seem to enjoy that. So, you know, where are you and what are you doing? But it's also to show that I don't really show it. Now, years ago, if you looked at pictures of me, you would probably see it all over my face.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like it's like, really, it doesn't matter if you're going through, and everybody's going through something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
And
yeah.
It's we can heal anything. Anything can heal. And I am a walking testament to the love of the universe and how making choices and making different choices impact your life. Because
yeah.
It really is a choice.
It is.
Yeah.
You can certainly, anyone could have taken that situation and used it to their detriment. And even noticing in your voice and stuff, your candor and the tone of which, it seems like, I'm sure that event would never leave your mind, but I think you put it in a place where you treat it as the tool that it is. I think that's an entirely such a huge strength mentally.
Thank you. That was one of the places, the mental and emotional was a real challenge.
Mm-hmm.
It was a real challenge, yeah. And I've had so many wonderful people, and the universe has sent me amazing help because it's always been my determination to heal. It has
right.
always been there, and it does take a lot of, I want to say, discipline almost, Michael.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would imagine it really does on your part. Or people dealing with any kind of issue, you know, you really have to dig your heels in and say, you know, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to change. I wanted to switch, Sandy, and just get your thoughts on our News Crunch topics up today.
Yeah, let's do that. I love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, which is what we would be normally talking about. So
yes.
I was so psyched when I got your email, because literally Michael and I were about to delete this show and just move on to something else. So the universe brought you to us, and we're happy that you're here. So the first incident, and most of these are happened about a month ago. So Sandy, you'll go first, and then Michael, you'll tell me your thoughts. So there, I don't know if you guys remember, there was an elderly woman who died after she was given no CPR at her nursing facility. So the deal with that story was that the nursing facility said that they don't have any trained people on the premises that could have given her CPR. So their policy across the board is that you call 911. So they released the 911 call. So this was all over CNN, Fox News, every major news outlet. And mm-hmm. and you could hear the 911 operator was so upset and so disturbed, but still trying to hold it together, because she says, look, to the woman that was that called in, I will give you instructions on how to give this, you know, 80-something-year-old woman instructions on how you can save her life. But the lady that worked at the facility kept saying, I'm not allowed to do that. I'm not going to do that. It is against policy. So it's this heart-wrenching story of that plays out between the 911 operator. And then finally she says, look, is there somebody, you know, for the love of God, is there somebody walking by? Give them the phone, and I can give them the instructions, and then they can go ahead and do this. She was like, this lady is going to die if this doesn't happen. So to make a long story short, ambulance came, and the woman, I believe, ended up dying on the way to the hospital. And I remember just kind of looking at that story, you know, not even as a journalist, but as a human being saying, and all of my friends and I were talking about it, and I was just saying, I just don't know if that was the policy of the place that I would work, that I could live with myself if I didn't do something. And I'm not judging the person. If I didn't do something to help that person, because to me, that would be like, she could be my grandmother, she could be Michael's grandmother, she could be Sandy's grandmother, she could be anybody's grandmother. And so now the facility is saying that they're going to review their policy and perhaps maybe try to have a medical expert or somebody on staff, but they don't think they're going to do that because of budget cuts and yada, yada, and yada, yada. So I just thought, you know, we as human beings, have we gotten to that state that, you know, that we just simply won't even give CPR to an elderly woman at a nursing facility who's dying and clearly who needs help? So, Sandy, what's your sort of gut reaction to that one?
Well, there are a few issues that are come up when I heard about this story. And the first one, because, you know, we're talking so much about choices tonight, and I really feel that the first time I saw this story, I got the same exact feeling. The lady said, I was ready to go. and I'm fine with it. She made the choice to go to a facility that had that policy.
Right.
So I think that that's something that should be looked at. Was, yes, if you're at a facility where it's resuscitated at any cost, then do whatever to keep someone alive, then you know you're at that facility. But if
right.
you go into a facility that says we do not resuscitate, or this is our policy to not give CPR, well, it's kind of a self-responsibility thing. And the lady said that she's fine. She's happy they didn't resuscitate her because she was ready to go. And she knew that it was that type of facility. And she's also telling me that she had a do not resuscitate order.
Oh, she did?
According to what she's telling me, she did.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. She said that she was ready. So I think that it's important. Now, I love the elderly, and that's something that's a real pet peeve with me in how we deal with that, you know, with people getting
mm-hmm.
older. I'm very old school with that. I like the grandparents living in the home with everybody, and because
mm-hmm.
we learn so much from our elders, and we gain so much. They're the ones with the wisdom and the knowledge and the stories.
Right.
Oh, we love them. But it's important for everybody listening to make sure that you know the policies, whether it be an elder home or whether it be 7-Eleven. Know the policies
mm-hmm.
of the place that you're walking into.
Right.
Absolutely.
Michael?
Yeah, I think if she was absolutely lucid to know enough to go ahead and put a DNR order on her file, then she must have actually been capable enough to know that someday that would happen. You have to understand, too, Victoria, and I think Sandy, you can agree with this, too. Someone working a $12 an hour job cannot be put in the place of making that instant decision, regardless
mm-hmm.
of not knowing even what's on their file, because if she's been in a nursing home, believe me, through Hospice with Steve, there is tons of paperwork, and they go all through every possible question and stuff before you even enter that facility. So having that $112 an hour wage earner make that call, yeah, it could have cost that nursing home through the insurances, you know, the cost of their care. So from a practical sense, again, I'll agree with Sandy, she chose the right facility. But from a humanitarian sense, sometimes it's not our learning. Sometimes it's not our choice to make, which I hope I don't sound, you know, horrible.
No.
But
well,
you get my
that's
point.
Why
though.
I throw these, and that's why I like when we do News Crunch that we sort of throw these topics out there to get, you know, different reaction. Now, what I do know also is that prior to anyone going to that facility, that they know what they were getting, so they know that if something happens, that they're to call 911. So you kind of do sign up for that knowing. So that made me feel a little bit better, but. You know, it was one of those things. It was just so heart-wrenching to listen to that 911 tape. And I'm just thinking, for the love of God, help the lady out. But, you know, you guys have made me think about it a different way that I did not think about it. And plus, since Sandy just said that, you know, she said, is saying to her that that is how she wanted it. Michael, we're going to listen to some music, right, and then come back with our next topic.
Absolutely. Again, from Anna Johnson, Damaged and Bruised. Don't go away. More with Sandy Athey when we get back.
I'm sitting alone, pretending to read. Come near me, I am bleeding. I live by myself, I eat on my own. I don't take chances, just leave me alone. Leave me alone. I know it's not right, but I'm He took my life. He took my heart.
Johnson with Damaged and Bruised. You can go ahead and find her at annajohnsonmusic.com. Ladies, I'm sorry I played that song after the sad story of Sandy, but, you know, I adore her voice, and I hope you guys do.
She's wonderful.
Yeah, brilliant little lady out
of
Nashville.
She has really, really, And it's one of those things that I think it was also fitting for our discussion in it. Yeah, it's just a beautiful song. So the second topic, and then later we're going to talk about, Sandy, how our listeners and followers can find you and tell us about your websites and any services that you may offer. I wanted to talk about Diana Hansen And she was the young lady who was cleaning an enclosure that two lions had been in, and not long after one of the lions ended up coming back into that enclosure, attacked her, and she ended up dying, and that was at a place called Project Survival Cat Haven in Dunlap, California. So they basically sort of take injured lions and other animals and bring them there to shelter them and bring them back to health. So when I thought of that story, also in the news in D.C., they were talking about the National Zoo and this sort of debate about, you know, are zoos in America still relevant today? And that kind of tied into the young lady who was attacked and killed. And I was really giving it some thought, and I said, you know, I always remember growing up in Washington, and in the summertime, we would always go to the zoo, and the zoo was just sort of, you know, an extension of a school, because we would take school trips there, and it was this sort of experience where you would go to learn about different animals. But then I have to admit, as I got older, I thought, you know, is it really fair to kind of keep them in those cages and all that stuff? And then I ended up, my sweetheart and I ended up getting a dog, Abby. And so you just start to think about animals and things differently. So I wanted to toss that out there to you guys. So, Sandy, what are your thoughts on, you know, zoos? Do you think they're still relevant? And, you know, can we still find a place in our lives, you know, for zoos and animals in that setting?
Oh, Victoria, you know, you hit a real spot with me with the animals. Oh, my
goodness.
Yeah,
good question.
I just love the animals.
Tough.
Yeah, and I have I have personal opinions about it, and then I have the universe's opinion about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, did you all see The Life of Pi?
I didn't, and I want to see it.
Oh, Victoria, Michael, I think you'll agree with me. It was the most perfect movie that is about this, exactly what we're talking about, this very lesson right here. It's okay. The animals are our family, and they're here on Earth with us to be our food and our shelter and our family, and they have their place. Each animal has their place, as we do here. And The Life of Pi, Victoria, was all about understanding the nature of things. This young boy, when he's very young, his father has a zoo. And he's a young child, and he goes up to the cage where the new lion is, and he puts his arm in with a piece of food on the end of it, thinking he would be all nice and help the animal, you know, feed it and all of that. And his father came in and just went, you know, berserk and said, no, you don't do that. And the mother said, don't yell at the boy. And he said, no, he has to learn. And he got a goat, and he tied the goat up to the cage. Well, of course, you know what happened. The lion came and demolished the goat and had it for dinner. And the little boy, in that moment, it was a hard lesson to get, but he learned that that was the nature of that animal. And then you see, you know, the story goes on, and they have all the animals on a boat, and they're going wherever they're going on their journey, and there's a shipwreck. Well, he ends up being shipwrecked on a lifeboat with this lion, I think it's a big cat. Michael, was it a lion?
I think it's something like that. I haven't seen it, but I'm loving the story so far.
Okay, so it may have been a cougar, but it was a big cat. And the whole story is about him understanding to not be friends with the animal, but to respect the nature of that cat. And there are times in the movie where he literally had to be outside of the boat because he knew that cat would eat him if he could.
Mm-hmm.
So he would catch fish and he would feed the cat to keep it alive, but knowing that it was not his friend. It was a big cat. And to respect that it's a big cat. And that really is the lesson of respecting the sacred space of everything and knowing that, yes, we can domesticate dogs and little kitties and, you know, some birds and whatnot, but to understand that they will keep their true nature.
Yeah.
They will always keep that true nature. And as long as we respect that, then I do believe that there are zoos that can be respectful of that. And for the children to learn about that birds fly, cats meow, dogs bark, and we learn these things as children, but to really understand the nature of a wild animal and to respect its space. And as human beings, I think that sometimes we get a bit arrogant with that. Like, mm-hmm. Remember years ago there was a similar story with, who are those guys? Siegfried and Roy?
Yeah,
right. And they had the tiger, the white tiger. And I looked at that and I said, but you got to respect, it's still a tiger.
Wow.
And as long as they're treated to be as natural as possible in their habitat, then I feel that zoos can be educational as long as we do understand to respect the space of the animal and the nature of the animal.
Yeah, I agree fully. I think the only way I will be eaten by a shark is if a shark comes into my living room and eats me off the sofa.
You're not going in the water, huh?
Yeah, I'm not going in the water in the deep end, absolutely. And quite frankly, I mean, I love the concept of zoos. However, you know, you could actually switch that into society, and it would be so much simpler if you could put society between bars and have them not interact with each other. Therefore, the lion doesn't eat the goat. The lion and the goat remain. So you'd have the bipolar people one place, you'd have the crazy nuts the second place, and everything like that. Zoos being educational, you know what, with the internet and everything like that, if you really want to go ahead and see a lion, go to Africa, have the whole experience, understand the culture. I think people mm-hmm. tend to, you know, I'll go with the arrogant status of humans. I think humans just think they're smarter than they need to be, which I find sometimes giggly. So that's my two bits on this.
I agree.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Well, and you know, I think about, like, for example, my niece and nephew who have gone to the zoo and the Baltimore Aquarium, which is a wonderful aquarium and a learning experience because they get to see the fish and sharks and stuff up close, and they've got great staff over there. So, you know, it is one of those things where, you know, you do want to have, at least I do feel like we should have those things, because it is just such a learning experience. And, you know, otherwise, I'm sure with me growing up, and I grew up in the ghetto in D.C., you know, we barely had food, so I knew I was never going to go to Africa to go see some lion. So my only chance of making something like that happen was to go to the Washington Zoo on Connecticut Avenue and have, you know, somebody who works there to sort of tell me the story, and I can imagine it in my head, or, you know, of course, to watch it on television. So that story was interesting, because that particular place where the lion attacks her, the work that they do there is a sanctuary. And, you know, it's this sort of work where they take in animals who have been injured or outcasts or, you know, didn't really have a home or whatever. So that was really interesting. But I'll never forget what her father said in one of the interviews. Her father said, you know, he, of course, was always concerned about his daughter and the type of work that she was doing. He says, but if you knew her, then you would know that's exactly what she wanted to do. That was where she wanted to be in that space and at that time. And sort of if anything had to happen to her, that he would rather it be something that she actually wanted to do. And I thought, wow, that's pretty powerful coming from, you know, her father to say that.
Yeah,
it's like the girl with the shark that ate off her arm. She's the surfer and everything like that. And, you know, touching story. I watched the little Hallmark movie and everything like that. But, and then she, you know, she gets back on that surfboard and she's out there surfing, doing what she loves. I'm sorry, I don't think I'm no Indiana Jones. Shark bites Michael's arm off, I'm done surfing. It's just that simple.
Well, it's about respecting nature, and nature's going to be nature.
Right.
I had a little mouse running around up here. My kitty cat transitioned a little while ago, and so I had a little mouse running around, and of course my significant other is, well, catch it, and I said, no, I just need a cat. I need another cat.
Yeah.
And he said, that's horrible. And I said, no, that's nature.
That's the
way
it happens.
That's more natural than anything else. than you know, getting the little sticky things and all of it. It's like, no, no,
right.
no. Just let nature take its course.
Right. It's funny, Sandy, that you said getting the little sticky things, because we had an incident here at my house, and I had been talking about it on Facebook, and I'm sure my Facebook family got tired of me talking about it, but we had
it was the harrowing tale of the squirrel in the attic.
We had a squirrel in our attic, and that squirrel went in there and took over. Like, literally, Victor and I, my significant other, you know, who's a doctor who does surgery, who's, like, not afraid of anything, he was afraid to go into the attic. I mean, I would go in there first, and he would push me in there. And I'm like, you're the one, you know, who does stuff with your hands. You go in there. So we ended up getting a trap. And at the end of the day, Michael, I think it took us almost 3 weeks to catch this squirrel. So we finally caught him, and then we took him far away and released him. But it is amazing, you know, when you have to deal with animals and us being, you know, humans, and we're not used to dealing with animals. Like, we see them afar, whether it's a house pet. But, yeah, that squirrel, Michael can tell you, Sandy, that squirrel shut my house down for about 3 weeks. It paralyzed us.
Sandy, it would have taken less time to move, if you know what I mean. You know, the house with a squirrel available on a half an acre, blah, blah, blah.
Tune into Victoria's house with the squirrel.
Right. That squirrel shut down.
Will Rocky take over, or will Victoria be?
Honey, Rocky took over. And the thing about this particular squirrel, you know, I didn't, you know, hell, I didn't know anything about squirrels except for they eat my bird feed, and it irritates me because the food is for the birds, but they eat it too. And then I had to go on Google, and I'm asking all these questions, so I became an expert on squirrels. But this squirrel was not nice. I mean, this was an evil little squirrel, and I just thought squirrels were nice. But Sandy, that gets back to your point. You know, they do have their own nature in a way about them, and because we were trying to catch the little guy, of course, we were the enemy. Literally, there were several times when I would try to open the door and I would hear the squirrel hiss at me. But I later found out that the squirrel, there was a female squirrel, and the people told me that the squirrel was probably pregnant. And generally, they only will come into your attic is if they're pregnant or they're injured. So, you know, once you kind of get the story, I thought, oh, no, you know, the poor little squirrel's pregnant. I'm like, look, honey, that attic, it takes up the whole top of the house. You can have it. Have your babies in there. Just leave when the weather changes. We won't bother you. But eventually, you got to get out of this house. So that was fun.
Yeah, start charging rent. Absolutely, yeah. Sandy. Let's go ahead. Let's go into delve into the psychic nature of your life. Which do you find more comfortable or more readily getting vibes from, animals or humans, or is it a combination of both?
Good question.
Oh. Thank you. That is a great question. I really enjoy working with both. I really do. But, you know, it's a different vibration. It's I love the animals. Sometimes they're much easier to talk to because they don't have all the, because they are true to their nature, exactly what we've been talking about.
No motive.
And, yeah, and with humans, you know, I enjoy that as well because it's getting to the root of things and working with the complexities of the mind and the emotions and all of that combined. So it's really, you know, what do I like better, the red dress or the blue? You know, I love them
both.
Right.
Yeah, right.
I really do.
Sandy,
go ahead.
No, I was thinking about, and that was a part of the discussion that we had earlier about sort of, you know, the traditional American when you grow up and go to church and, you know, sort of the dilemma about psychics really not being a part of that. And, you know, they're like Sandy said, they're these kind of people that have a crystal ball, this sort of Hollywood image that we have of psychics. But I have noticed, and Sandy, you probably too, that I think that there has really been a change, at least in America and in people's minds when it comes to psychics, that they are more open about psychics. And a perfect example is that show of the woman named Teresa. I don't know the name of the show on one of the networks that is
Long
a psychic.
Long Island Psychic.
Long Island Psychic, yeah. And she has, in fact, one of the highest rated shows on television. And, I mean, millions and millions of people follow this lady. So what that said to me was that, you know, there are a hell of a lot more people out there in the world who believe in psychics but who may – not, you know, talk about it or say anything about it, but they actually do, because to get that amount of people and to be number one for as long as she's been number one, and I know that, I think they're coming back with another season, that was just sort of a reflection to me on society and our views of psychics and how we're changing our thoughts on that.
That's a great topic. I love this topic, because when I do, whether it be a keynote or I'm in front of an audience, I will often talk about the definition of psychic. And the definition of psychic is sensitive to forces beyond the physical. That's it. That's from the Webster's Dictionary.
Wow.
And we are all psychic. It's just like, how are you going to use your gift? And every psychic is different, but we are all psychic. We all have the sixth sense. We all have women's intuition, a hunch, you name it. It's called a thousand different things. But we all have it. And it's something that is important that it, I think that word has a buzz to it, and I think that it's the same thing as a used car salesman or a lawyer or a journalist, that in any profession, I don't care what it is, you can find people with integrity, and you can find people that are the opposite. And I think psychics are the same way, and I think people are understanding that. It doesn't have to mean that it's somebody trying to rip you off to tell your fortune or, you know, all that stuff, that it can be something with integrity. There are a lot of us that we do a lot of work. I do a lot of work. You'd be surprised at some of the things I do, but people don't want to say that they consult me, you know.
Sure.
And that's
okay.
You know, that's okay.
Right.
But understanding that it's a part of all of us. I mean, Moses got the Ten Commandments, and he said God talked to him. How is that different from what I said?
There's no difference. It's the fact that people – see, Victoria used to think psychics and that nature was like the boogeyman kind of a thing, where it's like, you know, which all it is a different vibration of learning. My grandmother had, you know, we called it the gift. You know, she could go ahead and see and warn us and stuff like that, and she was a fantastic person. But nine times out of ten, she was just a person getting out of her own way and just watching the way things happen. I think intuitive is a far better word than psychic or seer, because basically when you are quiet within, and I think Victoria knows about this too, but when you're really seriously quiet within, when you actually hear your own thoughts, your direction changes. And I think that kind of energy goes ahead and changes the vibration, and that's how we all become, you know, a little bit more of a heightened sense. Sandy, to you, this question, do you get anything from this show? Victoria's dog died, I had my partner die, my mother died, anything coming through on the horoscope? How do you do this?
Yes, I got a lot. Do we have time, Michael?
You know what? Let me just double check. I'm putting some extra time in now, so you go ahead and run with it.
I put in extra time, so you're good.
Thank you. I'm honored to have extra time on your show. Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay. Yes, Victoria. What's your puppy's name?
Her name was, I'm about to cry, oh my goodness, I didn't even want to talk about her. Her name was Abby, and what was amazing about her, the day that she died was the day that she was born, so that was pretty significant to us. So.
Wow.
Well, birth is death, and death is birth, of course.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry for your loss. She said that she had the best time with you. She has been showing me this beautiful leather couch. She said, I wasn't really supposed to be on it, but I was on it. And she loved the leather couch because she always felt like she was getting away with something. When, you know, like you'd come home and you'd be like, get off that couch, you know. And she was so cute with that.
Well, it's funny because we, in our living room, we actually do have a leather couch, and I would lay down on the couch and watch television, and she would literally always bump her big butt up against the leather couch, and I would have cover or a blanket over me, and she would always take her paw and pull the cover off of me from the leather couch and put it on top of hers. So, yeah, it is funny that you say that.
She talked a lot about the leather couch.
Yeah, I do have a history with her in that leather couch. That is true. That's very true.
Yeah, she talked a lot about that. And she loved, 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 and she wants you to know how much she loved and appreciated all the walks. And she said she knows that you miss the walks and that you know, she's really sorry for that, but that she loved them. They were the highlight of both of you guys. I mean, you both enjoyed them. And she's showing me a lot of sidewalks, that like you guys would walk on these sidewalks, she says.
Yeah.
And they would go through all these adventures, and she's telling me there were all these people and regular people that you would see on the walk.
Yeah. Yeah.
There would be the same people over and over, and that they knew her, and she knew them, and everybody loved her, and she loved them, and she had so much fun on those walks. Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Well, what's funny about the walks is that she was getting, you know, a little chunky, so we actually, the vet was like, well, just, you know, walk her more. So I would say probably towards the last year and a half of her life, we went on a lot of walks. And what's funny was that I was the one who ended up losing weight, and she didn't, because the walks were really for her. But I lost, like, you know, 15 pounds. And so
that's what she said. She said, you like the walks too, right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. That's funny.
Oh, yeah. It was good for both of you guys. And she's very insistent that I tell you, and again, brace yourself, okay, girl?
Okay.
You did the right thing.
Yeah.
You did the right thing. It was the right thing to do. It was time. Everybody knew it. She knew it. And it was okay. And she's sorry that you're sad. She's really sorry that you're sad.
Enter Waterworks.
I know.
I'm tearing up too, Sandy, you little Michigan.
The critters.
Oh. The critters, yeah.
They can just get that place in your heart, you know? It's a special, special critter place. It really is.
And
you know,
she
when
was
you
my,
have love
she was
for
my
everybody.
First, she was my first and only pet, so. I remember the night before she died, I had a conversation with her, and I told her it was okay, that I was okay. And it took me a while to come to the realization that she was dying. And once I told her it was okay, she looked up at me, and I think it was about 4 hours later, she passed on. So
Wow. She's telling me that you would sometimes question.
She was waiting. I definitely think she was waiting for me to come around. She would have died, I think, a long time ago. She was kind enough to wait for me. So
you guys have a connection, and you still have it. You still have it. Yeah, you do. And it's just different. But we'll say it transformed, you know. It just changed. That's all. But there's great love there. Great, great love. And everything you did was perfect for her, and she wants you to know that.
Thank you.
She loved the couch, and she loved the walks.
It's so funny you bring up the leather couch, because I know exactly which one it is, and I can just see Abby saying, I can see her peeking her head out, turning left to right, saying, okay, everybody's gone. I'm sitting on the couch. That's all I'm doing.
And like I said, it is, you are right, because we do have a leather couch in our living room, and Abby and I do have a history, and also with her dad on that couch, because no matter what we always did as a family or even separately, we would sit on that couch, and she would always sit in front of us and watch TV, but she would always come and take whatever blanket that we would have over top of us, and she would literally take her paws and pull the blanket off of us so that it would be on top of her. It was the funniest thing. But thank you so much, my goodness.
They're such a gift, aren't they?
Yeah.
Oh, the animals are such a gift. And that's why they've found all these studies where people get better, because the animals are visiting the homes, and, you know, because they bring such unconditional love to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they know what kind of vibration to give. You know what I mean? Cats, both cats and dogs. I know when Steve was sick, our one cat turned into a golden retriever and never left his side and stuff like that, and was a constant source of help and healing. And it's funny how they know. They know when you're down. They know when you're, you know, sick. They just know.
Yeah, they do. And oftentimes they'll take our pain for us as well. That you'll find that some animals will pass and they'll have an ailment that will correspond with. Now, I had a wonderful companion for many years after the assault, and she passed away. She was old. She was like 19, but she had a thyroid condition through much of her life, and of course that's her throat.
Wow.
And it came in right after, you know, what happened to me. So they've found a lot of correlations, and now a lot of vets are finding too that animals have human diseases. They're getting these weird cancers, and because of what I'm saying here, because they're taking on a lot of it for us. And they know that they're doing it, and they do it out of love for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 Absolutely. Let's go ahead and take a little bit of break. Victoria's going to go ahead and grab a Kleenex and dab her little nose.
I know. I'm sending you a big hug.
I know.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
This is Brett Michaels with Let It Go More with Sandy Athey when we get back.
I just let go inside the first time in a very long time, and now I pray for no consequence, but I won't hide this time, no, 'cause life begins right here. The place I always feared. Yeah. So breathe in, let it go. Don't think so much anymore. I will let you never know. So breathe in, let it go. Rising up from the pool of a sestum moon, and though I can't claim my innocence, I won't hide from myself, 'cause life begins right here, the place I always fear.
Don't think so much.
you can go ahead and hear him on youtube.com/visualflightrules, or actually go ahead and hit him up on Facebook, Brett Michaels, M-I-K-E-L-S. All right, Victoria, stop crying, Sandy.
Michael and Sandy, I wanted to say this. So Barbara Walters is retiring. So it came to my mind, Sandy, I think you should take over that job now because you're good at making people cry, so you should be the next Barbara Walters.
Not many people can make
the
news lady crack.
Oh, dear. I had somebody with me years ago when I first started on the radio, and I'd do some in-person appearances, and he would follow me around with a box of Kleenex because of that. But it's spirit. It's God. You know, I'm so honored to be a conduit for it and that it comes through me. Thank you so much for that, because it really is the universe, and I always say this, I just work here, you know?
Absolutely. And he couldn't have picked anyone better, Sandy, because I think your nature and your tenderness goes ahead and lends a certain sensitivity to it. So I'm going to go ahead and put myself in front of the bus here. Whatever you're getting from me or whatever.
Oh, I hope it's not a bus.
I hate put on slippers when you walk around this house, if you know what I mean.
Okay, we got the Kleenex out for you now.
Go ahead, I'm a rock.
It's funny that you intro it in that particular way, because I was talking to Steve, and he said, well, he's a little reluctant because he's not quite sure, you know. And I said, he said, be gentle. And I said, I promise I will. I said, give me a couple things you want me to say. And, you know, during the nice music break there. And he said, he wants you to go ahead with your new project. He's very excited about your new project. Do you know what that is? What are you talking about?
I certainly do know what that is, yeah.
Okay. He says the new project, you're a little reluctant about it. You know, you're kind of like, I don't know. But he said that it has the love of the universe behind it, and it is something. He says that you think it's new, but it's really not new.
Right.
That you're very, you know how to do this. It may be doing it in a new way or in a new venue, something like that. But he said, go for it. You got this. That's what he said.
Wow.
Do you know what he's talking about?
You know what? Yeah, I certainly do know what he's talking about. And now that you brought this up, this is what he's talking about. When I was in New York, I was talking with a great guy named Richard Cutting. Richard Cutting is a TV veteran, and long story, incredibly short, and after a few Patron shots, we had discussed the fact of actually doing a web equivalent of Sundance. So basically, it would be a place where writers, directors, actors, producers, singers, dancers, editors, music people, all that stuff gets into one place for 7 days. And in that 7 days, we put together a feature-length film, upload it to YouTube, just to go ahead and see what we can actually do. It's almost like a web series film think tank that we're actually working on for next year. And it's pretty funny that he would say it's not new, because it really isn't new. The concept isn't new. It's just the forum and the audience.
Thank you. The venue. That's what he said. It's you know what to do. It's just a different way to do it or a different venue.
Yeah.
Thank you for the validation. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for the wisdom, because that's in the back of my head so much. I'm trying to finish up this book and working on the show and getting this thing off the back. So, yeah, it's fantastic that you offer clarification. And might I say again that your delivery is fine, and I really got goose pimples. So I know you know what that means.
I
Sandy.
Do.
Yeah.
And
so
I know. I'm so glad it's not tears. You got the goose pimples instead.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
I'm better
Thanks,
with goose
Sandy.
Pimples this time. Absolutely.
Thanks a lot, Sandy. He got the goose pimples. I got the tears and had to go blow my nose.
I just work here. I'm sorry. I just work here.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Don't kill the messenger.
All of our over 300,000 listeners will hear me blabber and cry on the radio. Then it's going to go to iTunes and every other podcast service in America.
Oh.
Thank you very much.
But you see,
Sandy,
that's why they love you, because you're real.
Yeah.
People
yeah.
like it. That's why we love the radio, because people like people to be genuine, and that's why they love you, Victoria. They're going to love you for that.
Thank you.
They're going to love you even more for that. Let me put that in there. Even more.
Well, we definitely love you. So we want to kind of share you with everybody. So I know you have a book out, or, you know, can folks follow you? How can all of our fans and listeners follow you now?
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And I'm very honored and flattered to be associated with your show and to be on your show. And let's see, what was the opening? To be a smart, witty, and colorful guest. Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's a treat.
I wrote that down. I love that opening. But, yes, I am obviously have an Internet presence, and my website is sandyathey.net, sandyathey.net, and that's spelled sandyathey.net. You can also reach me on Facebook and Twitter. And, of course, I have posted on Victoria's, I don't know if I'm on your page, but I think I am. I've put you on my page. So, yes, of course, you can reach me that way. And I also respond quite well to the old-fashioned way, believe it or not, which is you can call my office. And I do love to work on the phone, obviously. And my office number is 410-747-6510. Again, that's 410-747-6510. And I'm happy to have you call the office. And I do book private sessions. I enjoy that very much. And I do have a book out called The Daily Dance. And The Daily Dance is available at Amazon.com. It's also available at BarnesandNoble.com. Or if you go directly through my website, I will be happy to sign a copy and send it to you directly.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
Fantastic.
Michael's going to be the first to run and get that book, and I'll follow up and get it. Michael loves reading and loves books, so I know you're going to get it.
Yeah, you know it in a heartbeat. And may I just say, Sandy, it has been an absolute delightful, enlightening pleasure to meet you. I love how things happen. I love that people use the word coincidence. I love the fact that there is that naivete out there, and I'm just so thrilled that we met on purpose this evening. In a very short period of time. Yeah, in a short period of time, I've grown very close to you.
I know.
I love you guys.
Yeah, seriously. The kindness is so well felt, Sandy. And please understand that it's funny
because I literally feel like, Sandy, like you're just an old friend, and Michael and I are catching up with you via live on the radio, and you're giving this great information and having this conversation.
Well, Victoria, it's been a long time since all three of us sat down, because this kind of connection doesn't happen by accident. Wouldn't you agree, Sandy?
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, I want to put a shout-out, if it's okay, to my assistant.
Absolutely, the one who made it all happen.
Heather. Yeah, to Heather, for the one that made it all happen. Girlfriend is connected.
Yes. And, you know, what's weird, I don't know Heather. I literally was about to cancel this show, and I told Michael, I came home, I logged on to my Gmail account, and there was Heather sitting in my inbox, and I went to your website. She sent me a little information, so I just shot her back. I didn't even think about it. I said, if she can do it, I said, I've got a show. Please ask her if she can do it, and it just happened like that. So the universe works exactly the way that it is supposed to. But Sandy, I'm hoping that you will come back and can kind of be our sort of spiritual advisor to At Home with Victoria.
Oh my goodness.
Our show.
I would love that. Thank you for inviting me. I would like that.
Maybe we can we'll talk off air, but maybe you know once a month we can get you back to come on to talk about life and what things are and positive news and all that good stuff. We'll talk
I'd
about it
love
off air.
That. You guys are great, and I'm very honored to be associated. And I wrote you back the email, and it's the universe gave me two thumbs up. They said, you have to do the show, and these are great people, and you'll enjoy it. And I'm so glad I got that instruction too, because they were right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sandy, it's been an absolute pleasure meeting you. Please understand that At Home with Victoria is your home, too, and come back whenever you have anything in the hopper, and then We'll be in touch, and we'll have you back a dozen times. Huge love and light your way. Namaste, my love, and please carry the gift with a great heart.
Thank you. Safe journeys.
Safe
and
journey.
I'll talk
Make
to you
right.
Yeah, that's safe journeys, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
You got to take care.
Michael,
I love Sandy.
Yes. I love her, too.
Love
I mean,
her.
Like, the universe has been so good to us. You know, you karma, you know, you put good vibes out there. And we've done over 240 shows, and all of our shows are positive about helping people. So I really kind of see this as the universe giving that back to us. I just love her. She's like an old friend that you've had forever.
Yeah. She's an old soul. You can tell. You can tell in her demeanor, and you can tell in her wisdom and in her non-threatening. Because some psychics, there was one with, what the hell is her name? It's the long, scraggly hair. It's the one that was exposed in Geraldo for being a crackpot and stuff. I mean, psychics on so many levels can go commercial. And with Sandy, I have to say that she is coming from a source of light. You can tell in her speech. And you can tell by her sensitivity. The leather couch really screwed me up, because how the hell would she know you had a leather couch?
I know.
I mean, that is a shot in the dark. So.
Dude, when she said that,
I know
I
exactly.
I was thinking, you have got to be kidding me. Like I thought she was going to come out and say something about how, you know, Abby just loved you. But when she literally said the leather couch, I'm thinking, OMG, I have a leather couch downstairs, and there's, like, serious stories around Abby, Victor, and I in that leather couch and my sister.
Yeah.
And I kind of had a flash in my head when she said leather couch, because anybody who sort of comes to my house always experienced something with Abby with that leather couch. It's absolutely amazing. Yeah, you're right. There would be no way in the world she would know that, because Sandy and I have not had a conversation before she came on the show tonight.
Yeah.
I think we sent two emails to each other about the content and just her bio and a picture, and to confirm the date, that was pretty much it. Yeah, that blew my mind.
Absolutely. I want to go ahead and thank everybody up in chat, all the new guests, guest 4477 who stuck with us for the entire time. I hope you enjoyed your time with us. Vic, I'm actually going to be on Christopher Davis's show, Late Night Rendezvous at 10 o'clock. So hit it up. I'll go ahead and post the link on my page. But he's asked me to be guest host. I'm kind of thrilled. I've never been a guest host before. It's kind of, big girl pants.
I have taught you well, so you would do great as a guest host. And I make sure you give Sandy a shout out and talk about our show.
I will.
Because I think his audience would love to know who she is. So maybe even in chat you can post her website just to sort of give her a shout out. But yeah, put the show on my wall, and then I'll put it throughout social networking. And I'm definitely going to listen. And you have a fun time on there tonight. And do us proud here at Home with Victoria, but I'll be listening to you, kid.
I'll carry the torch proudly. Let's end with a little bit of music. This is Brett Michaels with Visual Flight Rules. The song is called Love Says So, from Michael Kay, from Home with Victoria and Victoria Gaither. We just want to wish you a good night, and God bless everyone. Victoria, great show.
Oh, my goodness, great show. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Thinking too much, should be so easy. All we're talking about is falling in love, and people do it every day. What more do I have to say? Come on, baby, we're not crazy. No more missing buts or maybes. Love says, love says so. Something great, I don't
been listening to At Home with Victoria, an interactive news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Download us on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. I'm Shelley Rand, musician and announcer for At Home with Victoria. Download my CD on iTunes and Amazon and friend me on Facebook.